look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 just a little bit today and see what the Lord has for us. And we begin in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by unfeigned love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened at us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Looking back through these verses, I want to see in verse 1 and 2, it talks about He has secured us, we are saved. And He says, now is the accepted time, in verse 2, the end of verse 2. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's salvation. And I want to talk about overcoming in this crazy world, overcoming in these last days, overcoming in a world that is run by a little G-God known as Satan or the devil, that old serpent, the devil. He runs this place. I mean, we look around and we talked about, it's a lot different place than it was 30, 40 years ago. It's a lot different place than it was even 10, 15 years ago. And we hear these things and see these things, and we see all these things being exposed and light being shined in these dark places, and we see all this stuff. And it just boggles our minds sometimes, but it really shouldn't, because this place is run by the devil. I mean, this world belongs to him right now. He's having his way with it. He's setting up different rulers. And I know you can say, well, God sets up and puts down. Well, God allows. He allows the devil to have his people. He allows the devil to use people that allow the devil to use them. Amen. But salvation is that first step in overcoming. And I believe everybody in here is saved. They've called on Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. If you haven't, you need to do that today. But salvation is the first step in overcoming. Now, we've overcome as far as eternity goes. We don't have to worry about jumping in through any hoops or crossing any hurdles or climbing any mountains or doing any works to get to heaven, because Jesus Christ did it all for us. But salvation is that first step in overcoming. And 3 through 10, it goes down through and it talks about the stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watching and fasting and pureness and knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, and by unfeigned love, all these things. And we're looking at sanctification. Sanctification is another part of overcoming. Sanctification is something that God sets us apart for, and we're supposed to live it out. And He talks in these verses about, verse 8, it says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. It's not saying to be a deceiver, it's as being called and accused of being a deceiver, and yet you're true. What you're saying is true. When you tell people the truth about what the Word of God says, they'll tell you that it's fictitious, it's made up, it's a lie, it's not true, or Maybe, oh, that's your opinion, that's your view, just like we talked about in Sunday school. You know, we get preachers out there that call themselves preachers of God, and they'll get up there and say, well, you know, it's all right to drink a little bit, it's all right to smoke a little bit, it's all right to do this, that, or the other, as long as you don't let it take over your life. And they'll lie and say these things, and then they'll tell you, you know, or they'll tell a lot of folks, you know, well, your church is legalistic, your church is too dogmatic about it, your church takes the Word of God too serious. I don't think you can take the Word of God too serious. Matter of fact, I've never met anybody who took it serious enough, except God Himself, amen. And, you know, if you don't rightly divide the book, you're going to end up being a mess. But they'll look at you and they'll say, well, you're a deceiver. You're just telling people, you're trying to put people under the law. No, I'm trying to put people in the right relationship with Jesus Christ by the Word of God. And by what it says, we give Bible principles, we give Bible verses to back them up. Amen? And, you know, that whole thing about, you know, Jesus drank wine, we talked about that earlier today in Sunday school, you know, and the only place, you know, we know he turned water into wine. We know that wine was grape juice. It was new wine. It wasn't fermented wine. It wasn't alcohol. It wasn't some hooch or some liquor he was giving a bunch of people, because it says, woe to you to give them their neighbor strong drink, and he'd be wrong to do it, so he didn't do that. The only place they could possibly say he drank wine was at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper. They could say, well, look, he drank wine right there, and that's true, but it was grape juice. And I'll tell you that we talked about this. We went down that road a little bit in Sunday school. We'll go down a little bit again, because for him to drink fermented wine at the Last Supper, when he says, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood, then there's something wrong with his blood. Because fermented wine is forbidden. Alcohol is forbidden. That's a type of man's blood that's tainted. And you can drink that type of man's blood till hell freezes over. And you'll be there, by the way, drinking that stuff, because man's blood is not sufficient. That blood, that representation of that blood, was from the cluster. It was new wine. It wasn't an alcohol wine. It wasn't an alcohol derivative. It wasn't a bottle of hooch like the Catholic priests would use. It wasn't any of that stuff. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Welch's grape juice, but it was fresh grape juice. It wasn't fermented. But they'll say, well, you're a deceiver, you're a legalist, you're this, you're that, you're the other. Hey, if you're going to overcome, you're going to have to realize that the devil is going to do that to you. The devil is going to accuse you. Hey, he's an accuser of the brethren, and he's wearing out the saints in the last days. And what he wants to do is he wants to pick at you and pick at you and pick at you and pick at you and pick at you till you finally compromise and say, I'll just give up. You're right. Gay marriage, queer marriage, sodomite marriage, it's all right. Drinking alcohol, it's all right. Smoking dope, it's all right. It's legal now. He wants to pick at you until you say, I can't take it anymore, and you quit, and you join the devil's crowd. Amen. I'm not talking about whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. I'm talking about whether your life is glorifying heaven or if you're living like hell and believing lies out of hell. You've got to understand that part of that sanctification is being willing to stand for truth no matter what the opposition. And that's what Paul's talking about, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge. He goes on down through this list: honor, dishonor, evil report, good report. As to see, you know, whether you hear something evil's going on, hear something good's going on, you just stay with the truth. Amen. And you know, they say that you're deceiving folks. As a deceiver, yet true. So if the whole world, if you're following God, you're following the Word of God, you're pleasing to God, and the whole world says you're a liar and you're false and you're wrong, you stick with God. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncle, your neighbor, your co-workers, your brother or sister in Christ. If you're right and you're doing right and they're accusing you of not doing right, stay right. You say, well, brother or sister in Christ wouldn't do that. Good night. He's talking to the church of Corinth here. A bunch of believers that were all messed up. I think I know why they were messed up. Because they had probably a preacher who said, Jesus drank wine. Oh, it's not really about the Word of God. It's not really about the New Testament. It's not really about the fact that, you know, we're under the grace of God. It's about mixing a little law in with it, mixing a little this in with it for salvation. Nobody's preaching it straight to them. They got all messed up. Paul comes along, he starts preaching straight to them. You know what they do? They start getting right. Amen. Salvation, sanctification, 11 through 17, he goes down through let's look at 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. separation. Verse 15, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I've said it before, I'll say it again. You need to hear it, we need to hear it, I need to hear it, we need to believe it, we need to understand it. We need to understand it as Bible, that we are not supposed to be hanging around the lost folks as our friends. You can be friendly to them, you can tell them about Jesus Christ, you can give them Bible, you can pray for them, you can weep with them, you can talk to them, but you don't need to be hanging around their filthy jokes and hanging around their stuff. We got to separate from that stuff because it does not please God. Your best friends in this life should be, if you're married, should be your spouse, and it should be people that love Jesus Christ and believe the Word of God. Those should be your best friends. You can be kind to people. God wants you to be. But our friends, our separation, our sanctification, we're supposed to be around like-minded and like-hearted believers. Amen? Why do you think he says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together? And then he says, and he's so much more as you see the time approaching, because the more the devil ramps up the attack, the more we're going to need each other. And the more the devil ramps up the attack, the more you individually are going to need to read your Bible, pray, have your relationship right, so you can be a blessing instead of a hindrance and a stumbling block to another Christian. Amen. You want to be a blessing to the person sitting next to you, the person behind you, the person in front of you, the other people are trying to serve God, then you serve God. And you do it by the Word of God. You pray, you read your Bible, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's right. You walk with Him, you talk with Him, you do right by Him. You suffer some persecution and stay on the right track. You be an example of those people that are struggling. You be an example of the people that just get saved. You be an example of these young kids, these young little Harper and little Timmy and little Christopher and these young kids. You be the example by staying with the truth and not wavering. They've got enough of the other stuff. Right. They need somebody to stand up and say, I'm sticking with God. I don't care what the world does. I don't like what the world's doing. I hate it. But if they all go the wrong direction, if every other church in the existence of mankind goes the wrong direction, I want us to do right. So were you too legalistic? No, I'm too biblical maybe for some folks. But I don't think you can be biblical enough. You're not going to hell for wearing a short skirt, but I'll tell you what, that's what you'll find people wearing down there, because that's where they come out of. You got to dress like a woman. You got to act like a man if you're a man. You got to do, a woman should look like a lady. I'm not talking about pants on women. I'm talking about not trying to dress up pretending you're a man. And a man trying to pretend, oh, good night, I don't even want to say that. But you've got to do what God has called you to do. And if you look in the mirror and you can say, Jesus Christ, does this please you? Whether you're a male or a female, and you got the Holy Spirit living in you and you say, this is good. Or maybe the Holy Spirit says, hey, maybe there's too much showing here, too much showing there. This don't look right here. Then change it to match what God wants. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to stand at the door with a ruler and say, hey, man, that dress is supposed to be a woman. That dress is supposed to be 1 inch from the ground. But I'll tell you what, if you're not pleasing God and you're trying to satisfy the flesh and trying to stir up the lust of the flesh so somebody will give you some attention as a male or female, then you're wrong. I heard a guy preach it over there at Liberty Baptist one time. Here's a couple years ago. He said, hey, young man, he goes, hey, you know what? You don't have to wear a shirt two sizes too small to show off your muscles. Wear something you can breathe in. Be a man. Amen. All these men running around there, shave their chest, put a shirt on so tight they can't even take a deep breath, and they're running around trying to impress each other and impress the ladies. How about impressing God with somebody that's obedient, that's Christ-honoring, that's Christ-glorifying? Amen? And again, I'm not preaching against pants on women. Good night, my wife wears them. I don't see a problem with it. Now, in church, you know, you either way. What you do at home, what you do outside. I mean, I'm not preaching again. I'm not preaching where I set the standards. I'm preaching, find out what God expects of you and follow Him. If I give you all my opinions, some of them are going to be wrong. If I pretend to be the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to be wrong because I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. But He's never wrong. And if you're looking for the answer, He has it. Amen. He has it. If you're still having trouble with the Bible version issue, I don't know how you could and still sit and listen to me. But if you are still putting up with me and you still don't know whether or not God has a true word, and whether this word's right and this word's right or none of them are right, maybe you ought to ask God and have Him fix it for you. Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. You know what the world's full of? The unclean thing. You look anywhere, it's the unclean thing. You look what's going on in the... Hey, you can't even go to Walmart. You know what's going on in Walmart? The unclean thing. You know what's going on in Target? The unclean thing. You know what's going on in Kroger? The unclean thing. You know what's going on in our public school system? The unclean thing. You know what's going on in the textbooks that they're teaching your kids out of, or grandkids? The unclean thing. You say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I tell you, for Scott, for Creed, for all these other folks that have kids and grandkids, there is something you can do about it. You can walk right. You can talk right. You can be right. You can live right. You can pray. You can read your Bible. You can try to please God. You can get right when you're wrong. You can be an example, because the world is perverted. It's going the wrong way, and they're trying to steal our kids from us. The devil's trying to take them all and destroy them. My goodness, when I was a kid, there was something they said about somebody that didn't know whether they were a boy or a girl. You're a pervert. You're messed up. There's something wrong with your head.
That's right.
Now they say it's something wrong with you if you think they ought to know whether they're a boy or a girl.
Amen.
I like what Brother Earl said. You show a birth certificate, probably tell. If not, I mean, you look at it for 10 seconds, I could probably tell you. Amen? I say probably, because we're in 2022. Amen? But good night. Stay with the truth. Be that example. Don't quit. Don't give up. Quit following your heart. You know what Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart is deceitful and wicked. It's desperately wicked. So quit following your heart and start following the truth. Start following the Holy Spirit of God. Matter of fact, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Get your heart right, and then God can lead your heart instead of you just following your heart. Amen. It says He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you're in the will of God, you know what the desires of your heart are? To please and glorify Him. Every desire in there will be to please and glorify Him. Every single one of them. You know what's wrong with this world? They're following the wrong God. They've got the wrong heart. They've got a wrong idea of what truth is. They've got a wrong idea of what judgment is. They've got the wrong idea of whether there even is a judgment. Judge not. Don't judge me. Who are you to judge? He that is spiritual judgeth all things. So I open this Bible, I get on my knees, I pray and say, God, show me something. When He shows me something, and I go outside the walls of this house, my house, or the outside the walls of this church, or I go anywhere in the world, and He showed me something, and He said, this is right and this is wrong, and I go out there and I see it, and I judge whether it's right or wrong according to that book.
Right. Amen.
And I don't care who's doing it, whether it's your grandma, grandpa, husband, wife, aunt, uncle, nephew, that sweet little precious grandchild. When that boy starts dressing up like a girl, that girl starts dressing up like a boy, they want to pretend to this, that, or the other. By the way, get the girls' dolls and get the boys' G.I. Joes like the old days and start teaching them how to play in the dirt. Barbie can even get some dirt on her as long as the girl's playing with her, amen? But I mean, when they start doing that stuff, you go, hey, I can judge whether that's right or wrong by the book. You say, well, they're family and you just got to accept. No, you don't, because you're accepting them. You're pleasing man, not God. It's not pleasing to God. Hey, pleasing God is not always pleasant for the flesh. It's not always pleasant for the flesh, but it's always right. You know what we need? You guys probably heard about this the last couple of years. We need a great reset. Amen? Oh, they're talking about a different reset. They're talking about that, you know, they're going to reset everything. You know, you'll own nothing and be happy and all that stuff. You know, I own everything. I'm happy. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got a street of gold so pure you can see through it. He's got gates that are pearls, 12 of them up there. Hey, I know exactly what I have. I have an eternity with Jesus Christ. My Father owns the whole thing. Matter of fact, He's going to burn this dump down and start a new one.
Right.
Amen? All this stuff out there. Hey, the best thing you got, I don't care whether it's a Tesla, a Bugatti, a Maserati, or you got a $1 million mansion or a $20 million mansion, it's flawed, it's perverted, it's got man's handprints all over it. God's going to burn this place plumb down to a pile of ashes. He's going to start over again. Amen. So all the riches that man thinks they have, they're all gone. They just don't know it yet. Mine are eternal. My riches are eternal. You know what it said? What was it? Let's look at this verse and see what it says here back over in, let's see, in necessities and distresses. Let's see where we at here. Chasing and killing, sorrowful, and always rejoicing, having nothing, verse 10, and yet possessing all things. So if you're serving God, I'm going to kick Joel Stein right in the liver, all right? If you're serving God and you have nothing, you're saved and you're in His will, you have everything. If you have everything this world has to offer, I mean, Bill Gates come by your house and go, man, I wish I had some of that stuff. If you had it all and you're not serving God, you are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, we got a perverted idea of what right and wrong is, what good and bad is, what things are. The right things to have are the things that please God and the things that He gives you. You say, well, I worked hard for that. Well, God gave you everything. Well, maybe He didn't want you to have it. Maybe the devil did. Or maybe the flesh just got something God didn't want you to have. But you don't have anything God didn't have something to do with. Amen? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. It all started with Him anyway. He gave you the air. It's His air. If you're breathing His air and you're doing something and you've earned something, you got it from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it's time for a great reset. You know what we need? We talk about salvation, separation, sanctification, all this. What we need, what this world needs, what folks need, what lost people need, a rebirth. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. And for all the hyper-dispensationalists that don't like that word, I love that word because I'm born again. But they need to be born again. They need a rebirth because the first birth, you know what there was? There was something bad wrong with that first birth. In sin, my mother conceived me. Amen. So there was something wrong with the first birth. The world don't understand that. They think the first birth was great and they're just doing good things and they're going to help do this and save the whales and they're going to save the planet. And we're going to have solar-powered bicycles we ride around on, all this stuff. We're going to do it all, man. We're going to fix it. And you own nothing and be happy. Oh, they're going to fix it all. Except one person is going to tell everybody what to do and they're going to be the Antichrist. Amen. That's where they're headed. We won't be here, by the way, but that's where they're headed. All this stuff. All these things. The world needs a rebirth. They need to be born again because there's something wrong with that first birth. It's a fleshly birth. We need a spiritual birth. They need a spiritual rebirth. They need to, you know what saved people need? Great reset. Repurpose. They need to understand your purpose. What is your purpose? It's not to fill your bank account. If God allows you to do that, praise God. It's not to get 16 cars. It's not to get a new house. It's not to have, you know, trophy wife or trophy husband. It's to have the one God wants you to have. It's not to have all this other stuff, all these world. You know, if you look at Hollywood instead of the Bible, try to figure out right and wrong, you're going to be a mess. Look, if you just don't look at your Bible and try to figure it out any other way, you're going to be a mess. But it's not about that. It's about a repurposing, that sanctification. It's about a refocus. It's about a separation, refocus. What makes me happy? Well, I like people to like me. I do too. But if they don't like me for the right reasons, praise God. I just don't want people to not like me for the wrong reason. Anybody ever made somebody not like them for the wrong reason? Say something wrong, do something wrong, react wrong, act wrong, have a bad day, do something wrong? I don't like it. I do that occasionally. All right, vote me out tomorrow, but right now I'm going to preach. But the thing is, we all do that sometimes. But if you're living the truth and you're walking the line and you're pleasing to God and somebody decides they don't like you and they don't want to be around you, as a matter of fact, they want to trash you and trash talk you and talk about how you're this, that, or the other, praise God, just keep on keeping on because the flesh says, I want everybody to like me. I just want everybody to like me. And if we just let women preachers in here, and we just have sodomite marriages in here, and if we just fill the place with beer, and we just let everybody do what they want to do, and they come in here and read any Bible they want to read, and you just never say anything about the Word of God, don't even preach out of it. Just get you a magazine or something. Get you a good housekeeping. Just talk about house tips and stuff. Boy, we could fill this place up, and everybody be happy, and we'd get along. But then God would be unhappy. Who do you want to please? Who are you going to stand before at the judgment seat of Christ? Not your grandkids, not your grandma, not your aunt, not your uncle. The Lord. The Word of God. The Word of God. Refocus, separation, renewing of the mind. Love not the world. I know I feel guilty sometimes about some of the stuff I preach because I know I'm preaching to people that believe what I'm saying and most people don't even need it. When it talks about not loving the world. Because I believe most people here, or most people who have been here, love the Lord and want to do right. But don't love the world. Don't fall in love with the world. You can't stay here. Either the undertaker or the overtaker is going to take us out of here anyway. And like I said, God's going to burn this place down to ashes and start over again. Renewing of the mind. 1 Samuel chapter 16, when God tells Samuel, he says, I'm going to replace wicked King Saul, and it's going to be one of Jesse's boys. And Jesse's boys are coming out through there, and Samuel is looking at Jesse's boys. And you get down to verse 6, and it says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, verse 7, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We need a reset. We need a reset. You know what you need? You need to review your motives. You need to review your motives. You know what gets people in trouble? Wrong motives. Wrong motive. What should be the right motive? Well, I'll just, as simply as I can put it, the right motive for everything is, does this please God? Everything. Does it please God? Well, I want a new Corvette. Does it please God? If God says, well, you know, you haven't put anything in the offering plate for 6 months, you've been packing up your money for the Corvette, I don't think that pleases me. Nah, you don't need the Corvette. Or maybe, you know, the folks down there that down the street from you, they've got 15 little kids, and the little kids don't have shoes on their feet. They got bloody feet running around out in the yards. They got no food. Their parents are drunkards or whatever. Maybe see that Corvette. You could give those kids, take them something down there to help them out. Take them some new shoes. Amen. Everything ought to please God. Everything we do ought to please God. I mean, if you look at the list, if you wrote it out and said, boy, this pleased God, this pleased God, this pleased God, which list would be longer? The things you did without even being concerned whether or not it pleased God, or the things that actually pleased Him? You might find out you accidentally pleased Him a couple times. Amen. But everything should please God. Our motives. What is our motive for everything we do? We talk about soul winning. When you go soul winning, say, but I don't want to see somebody stay out of hell. Praise God. That's a good motive. I want to do what the Lord's called me to do. God called me to preach the gospel to everything, all the creature, every creature, and boy, some creatures out there, I'm preaching to them. And if you see somebody get saved, praise God. But it ought to be to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take it a step beyond we're doing what we're supposed to do. Let's take it a step beyond we want to see a soul saved out of hell. Let's take it a step beyond into the reality of Jesus Christ is worthy, and He should have everybody praising Him. And I'm going to try to get as many people on His side before I leave this world as I can. Amen. Because the devil's out there with preachers, with teachers, with school teachers, with Bible teachers, with their so-called Bible teachers, everything else, trying to get people on His side, and He's doing a really good job of it. A really good job. Ain't hardly anybody working for the Lord anymore. I'm not saying there ain't anybody soul winning. I'm not saying there ain't people handing out tracts. I'm saying, what is your motive? What is your motive? We are for His pleasure. We were created for His pleasure. We are saved for His pleasure. We're supposed to live for His pleasure. We're supposed to preach for His pleasure, teach for His pleasure. You say, well, you know, you probably like come in here sometime and think, man, I wish that preacher would quit preaching on some of this stuff. Well, if I did, you'd probably get messed up in it. Or maybe you're messed up in it now, and that's why you don't like to preach on it. I don't know. But the thing is, we're sticking with that book. If we get down to three people and they're still sticking with the book, praise God. I don't want anybody to leave. I'm not saying you have to leave. But I'm just saying it's the truth. We need a reset. We need a reset. We need to get our heart right with God and our motives right. That rebirth, that's what the lost need. Understand that repurposing. My wife... she kind of repurposed me. I was going the wrong direction. Lord help her to repurpose me. But the thing is, she worked on the Lord's side to repurpose me. Whatever. The Lord's got a new purpose for you. You ever get to, you ladies are probably really good at better at this than men are, but, well, I don't know. Men collect junk and repurpose it. But you got something and that purpose is fulfilled. You go, I could use that here. I could do that, something else with that. Oh, I could take that and turn this into that. We could use this for that. And that, there's a lot of money in that stuff. There is. Saving money. Some people have stores on, the Etsy or Facebook Marketplace, whatever. They sell repurposed stuff. There's a market for that. You know, when God bought you with His blood, He repurposed you. Oh, you really didn't have a purpose. You didn't know what it was. Now you've got a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him. repurpose, refocus, separate from things that are against God. Separate from people that are against God. Separate from situations that don't glorify God. Amen. The renewing of the mind, love not the world. Renewing of your motives. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So how's all this stuff happen? It'd be kind of mean to say all this stuff and not tell you how to do it, right? We done figured out it's a heart problem. As a man thinketh of his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Figured out it's a heart problem, it's a motive problem. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you've got the rebirth, you understand you've been repurposed, you want to refocus, you need a renewing of the mind, you want a review of your motives, you do it by revisiting the Scripture. So I read through it once, I'm talking about every single day. Because every single day you are being bombarded with filth, with garbage, with lies, with untruth, with evil, just pure wickedness and perversion. You are bombarded with it. And if you want to be right with God, you need to revisit the Scriptures every single day. And if you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying and you're not trying to serve the Lord, you're not just doing a disservice to your Savior. You're doing a disservice to you, your family, your kids, your grandkids, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and everybody out there that's lost and on their way to hell that could be getting the truth from you with the right heart. Amen. So what's one of the most important messages, I believe, in the last days of the church age? Read your Bible. Amen. Because it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, in Jeremiah, it says the heart's wicked, desperately wicked. It says, who can know it? And it says, God tries the rein. God knows your heart. And the only way you're really going to know your heart is by having God's Word show you your heart. Period. That's the only way. See, well, Dr. Phil says, Oprah says, down the line, Freud said, Descartes said, all these men said. It doesn't matter. It's what God said. If you want your heart right, you want to know what's really in there, let the Word of God take a little peek around in there every day. Amen? You know what you're going to find out? There are a couple corners in there you missed when you was cleaning up. There's a refrigerator maybe you didn't roll out and get the dust behind. Amen? There's a workbench in your garage, man, that maybe you didn't knock all the sawdust out from underneath that thing. You're going to find some dirt in there you didn't even realize was there. And you're going to find some motives in there you didn't realize they were there. And you will be able to, by the grace of God, by the power of God, the mercy of God, the leading of the Spirit of God, you'll be able to get on track, be on track, stay on track, and praise the Lord. With His strength, you can end on track. But don't compromise and don't let the devil destroy your right thought from that book with perverted stuff of this world. They're after you. They don't even know it. The devil is after you. The devil is after our kids, our grandkids, and every single person in this church today. And if he could take you out, it would just thrill him. And if he could leave you in and mess you up, it would thrill him. Because if you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, and you're in church and you're messed up, you're going to rub off on somebody else. Amen. So get right, be right, pray to God that He'll give you the strength to stay right, and by the grace of God, we'll stick with God and end right. Amen. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Son, Jesus Christ, Your Word. You, Lord, You shed Your blood on Calvary. Thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your truth. Thank You for some people that want truth, Lord. There's not many left. And Lord, help us to all want and submit to Your words and love You more each time we open it. Help us. Bless us through the day. And we love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.